Those who know and practice the omnipresence of God have nothing ever to fear. They do not fear evil, sin, sickness, or sorrow, for these things cannot be where God is known and loved as omnipresence and all in all. The secret place of the Most High is not a place in the sky, but it is an inner consciousness and a realization of the indwelling presence of God, where no pestilence, where no sorrow, or any sense of evil can enter. To the soul that has found itself in this presence, no fear or evil can come. The Bible contains wonderful truths that we read over and over and over again, but our lack of spiritual understanding, we do not comprehend the meaning behind the words, nor do we experience in our lives the wonderful things that are held out for us. What is spirituality? A mere theory? Something that you put on Sundays like a suit? Or is it an everyday inner awareness of your unity with God? If your spirituality is merely a theory, it is impractical. But if you, through an understanding of spiritual thought, come to a realization of the omnipresence of God, your understanding will be to you a means of joy, happiness, health, peace, an inner sense of safety, and divine protection always. In the knowledge of omnipresence, the knowledge that that presence that is all of life, all goodness, all peace, all joy, and all harmony, in that presence, there is nothing to fear. To fear anything is a sin, a mistake, for sin is merely missing the mark of our high calling. Fear is the child of the belief in evil, and the more you believe in evil, the greater your fear will be. I am that I am. Besides me, there is none else, saith the Lord. To believe in another presence and another power beside the omnipotent and omnipresent good God is a huge mistake. And that is why we experience fear. The most essential thing in life is to gain that knowledge that makes us free from fear. Fear and doubt, free from cares, and giving us that inner assurance or that awareness or that consciousness of absolute safety at all times and in all places. If it is possible to gain an understanding and knowledge of the truth of the omnipresence of God, which will set us free from doubt and fear and worries and cares, isn't it worth our while to seek it? Seek the truth, as the great master taught, of course, which he declared, "Ye shall know the truth, and the knowledge of the truth shall set you free." It will set you free from the very things that trouble you, that cause you pain, sorrow, sadness, and instead it will give you the light of life in which you will realize that right here, everywhere we go, we live and move and have our being in God, who is the universal, infinite good as spirit and life, truth and love and peace and harmony everywhere at all times. When people will stop looking for God out here in the world and look for the Spirit of God within themselves, he's not out there beyond the clouds. they will find greater peace and greater joy in living. The world is in need of not a new God, but rather a new understanding of God. The world is in need not of more religious dogma or religious ritual, but of a better understanding of spirituality, of a better understanding of the teachings of Jesus the Christ. For Christianity means far more than a theory or a set of confessions or creeds or the odious repetitions of words that some call prayer. Christianity consists of applying the omnipresence of God in our daily lives. The consciousness of the omnipresence is a sure refuge and a fortress and a means to deliver us from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence of the world. What exactly is the snare of the fowler? The snare of the fowler is those things that annoy us daily. Traffic that moves too slow when we're in a hurry. Catching every red light along the route. Bothersome personalities that we meet in the grocery store or at our job. Lack of income or rewarding job. Aches and pains and flu and frustration. These are the snares of the fowler. My youngest grandson, Elijah, asked me not too long ago, and he asks this question quite often, so he just doesn't get it yet. He wanted to know if I believe in evil as a power, and whether I thought that anyone could do harm to me or to him by thoughts, or by declaring evil conditions for you. And I tried to explain to him that no, I did not believe in evil, and I did not believe in the devil. But he's young, he hears things at school, and these are the things that he remembers. But I tried to teach him that to believe in another power beside God is a mistake, that there is no such other power. I tell them that I do not believe in any bad power or any power of evil, that there is only good. For instance, I don't believe that someone can take a voodoo doll and declare it to be me and stick it with pins to curse me or to make me suffer some illness or some other bad juju. And I don't believe that an old Italian nonna can put a curse on me by giving me the evil eye or spitting on my path. To me, this is nonsense. These are old wives' tales that have been carried on through generation to generation. But people do believe these things, and because people believe these things, they give so-called evil a power over them. But if you abide in the secret place of the Most High, if you hold yourself in the consciousness of the one and the only power, the good, omnipotent, God, as Paul says, give no room to the devil. No one can harm you, no matter what they think or what they do. You have to protect yourself, though, by abiding in thought and consciousness and faith in the one power and the one presence, God, the good, and God alone. Then none of what the world calls evil can ever come near you. It won't affect you in any way. It is in this sense that we build a wall of protection around us through which no evil, no evil activity, no evil thought can penetrate. If you hold yourself in the thoughts of love and the faith that love is the greatest power on earth, no one's thoughts of hatred, deceit, jealousy, rage, unkindness can touch your soul, nor can they touch your heart. If one believes in the consciousness of the omnipresent good, he makes the Most High or the omnipotent God of love and life, his fixed habit of thought. That is our habitation. And when we habitate in that place, when we live there on a constant, continuous basis, no evil will come near our dwelling. All of our life depends on our own mental attitude. If we hold ourselves in the consciousness of love towards all, and if we entertain thoughts of purity, love, and innocence, these are the guardian angels that will protect us. They are God's angels too, because God is that infinite and divine mind that enables us to think. People tell me they have prayed and they have prayed for God to protect them. They have prayed that their loved ones will be protected, their friends and their children. And all of these prayers they declare go unheard and unanswered. What is prayer? It is not a certain set of words and sentences that are strung together to tell God what to do. Prayer is our habitation. It is the state in which we should be living so that no evil can come to us. People tell me that they have prayed for cures, they have prayed for homes, they have prayed for money, for friends, for jobs, even something so mundane as a parking space at the mall. Let me repeat. Prayer is not a certain set of words and sentences telling God what to do, how to do it, when to do it. You cannot, by pleading or begging on bended knee, change the pure perfection of God. The nature of God is fixed. God is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. He will be the same forever and ever. I am that I am. I change not. It appears very foolish to one with a higher understanding of truth when people try to tell God to please do this, please do that, or please do the other thing. God has already done all that is to be done. But what can we do? It's up to us now, not God. God never changes, but we must make our own abiding place in God. We must make our thoughts a fixed habitation in the good, in the true, in love. God is not far off. He is closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. It is for us to accept, to acknowledge his omnipresence and his omnipotence. And it is for us to have that single eye to see only God and the good. The moment we become double-minded, seeing and thinking good and evil, we immediately get ourselves into danger. But if we will practice the presence of God and be of that single mind and that single eye, Jesus said, our whole body shall be filled with light. If we recognize evil as a presence and a power beside the omnipotent and omnipresent good, we make a huge mistake. And whatsoever we sow, we will reap. Man always reaps the consequences of his mistakes. We all know that. We've reaped a lot of consequences. The protection of God is for all people. But we must hold ourselves in the consciousness of his presence. It is up to us what we choose to think and what we choose to believe. God cannot help you unless you allow him to do so, unless you acknowledge him in all your ways. If you make duality, the belief in two powers, your habitation, and if you believe that you were born in sin and you are sinful, don't be surprised if all kinds of things that you do are not correct and proper and right. But if you believe in your God-given nature, If you believe that you are a child of the infinite, you will turn from the way of the unrighteous to the paths of righteousness, peace, love, and goodwill. In divine science, we emphasize the omnipresence more than anything else. For the omnipresence of God is the basis for all demonstration of truth. It is the basis for all good in everything. Therefore, the practice of the presence of God in thought, in word, and in deed leads to a joyous, healthy, happy, wholesome life. The very thought that God is ever with you, that God is love, and love thinketh no evil, that divine love is ever present. The more we become conscious of God's presence, the more we realize his presence and power, we will accept our unity with God, which Jesus came to reveal to all of mankind. When we get open and we get receptive to the truth of being, the truth will demonstrate itself. As you recognize the presence of God as spirit, as love, as peace, and harmony, that infinite mind and that intelligence that is good and only good, as all in all, the one power and creator of heaven and earth, you must accept his kingdom as well. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, declared Jesus. It is up to us how much of heaven here on earth we acknowledge and recognize. Didn't Jesus say the kingdom of God is within you? Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do this, and you will prove that God is a present help in time of trouble. Let me end this lesson with a little story this morning. The early Native American Indians, they had a very unique practice for training their young braves. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, after he had mastered the skills of hunting and scouting and fishing, he was put to one final enormous test. He was placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night alone. Until that time, he was like the hippo and the chickens. He had never been away from the security of his family and his tribe. But on this night of his 13th birthday, he was blindfolded and he was taken several miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he was in the middle of a thick woods and he was terrified. Every time a twig snapped, the young brave visualized a wild animal ready to pounce. And after what seemed like an eternity, dawn broke and the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the dark forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers and trees and the outline of a path. And then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and an arrow. It was his father. He had been there with the boy all night. When we are in the wilderness of life and all seems dark and foreboding, take no thought. Remember the words of the 91st Psalm. He that dwells in the protection of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Please take a moment now to get comfortable in your chairs. Rest your feet on the floor and place your hands comfortably in your lap or perhaps at your side. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath and release all that's bothering you. Be still and quiet your mind. And we'll let go of all that is outside this peaceful, quiet sanctuary. Let go of all those worrisome thoughts swirling around in your head. Let go of any anger and resentment, any jealousy that you might be holding inside. And just be still. Be still and go within. Go to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with his open arms and his unconditional love. Father, this world of man's making is filled with the snares of the fowlers, with vain gossip and with pettiness. But I know that you will cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I shall trust, and your truth will be my shield and my armor. I do not need to be afraid of the terror of darkness, nor for the slings and the arrows that fly by night or day. I need not be concerned with all that I shall eat, drink, or wear. No evil or pestilence shall come near me, for I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. For the awareness, Father, of your everlasting love that shows forth as peace, love, joy, and safekeeping, Almighty Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness, and he gives you his peace and his protection. Amen.